setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. It is about your why at work, pursuing and performing meaningful work. Because I believe that we were all created to contribute through our work. And so we have a different worldview of work. It's not a utilitarian function that allows us to live. It's something that we inherently have inside of us. We long to make a difference. You were created to fill a unique role. You are needed. You must do it. That is our singular philosophical belief here that informs everything we do. 844-747-2577. Here's the bottom line. If you're miserable at work, this is your show. I'm telling you, we can help you. You listen for a while, get to the point you need to call in. Come on, let's go. You've got the answers. It's my job to pull them out of you. If you know you've got a big dream, but you're scared to death, not sure which step to take, this show's for you. So no matter who you are, how old you are, where you're from, I believe that the single greatest unifying attribute in the world of all humans is that we long to do something that makes a difference in our world. And so let's do it. Life is too short to be miserable on Monday mornings and live for the weekend. 844-747-2577 is the number, 844-747-2577. Judy is up first in Livermore, California. Judy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi.
Hi, Judy.
This is Judy.
Hi.
So my problem is that my husband and I were working as independent health insurance agents and targeting the Medicare beneficiary whole health plan scene. And we're just not making a lot of money, and we're just wondering how we can increase our business.
Yeah. Why aren't you making a lot of money? You just having a hard time signing up people to come to you directly with their insurance needs?
Yes.
Okay. Well, why are you having a hard time? And, do you have a lot of production?
Well, previously, my husband's marketing technique was to go to doctor's offices and kind of drum up business, like, so, you know, to get people to call us. But now we can't really go to doctor's offices because, you know.
Yeah.
It's all well, who, by appointment.
What was the plan at the doctor's office? You mean to put your business cards on their coffee tables?
Well, right. Like some flyer, like promoting some plan, you know, that's just not affordable.
Yeah. Well, I get some good news and some bad news. The good news is that that was, I guess it's good news and bad news all at the same time. It's 50-50. That was never really going to work anyway. Even if you could go into a doctor's office.
Yeah, it didn't really work that well, actually.
No, of course not. This is the way you get people to buy insurance from you is through one-to-one contacts that are born out of you reaching out to people, number one. And number two, other people that you know talking about you and you guys showing up on social media like Facebook local ads and things like that, and your target market, if your target market is, you know, people 50 to 65 years of age, for a very small amount of money on Facebook and other social media platforms, you can advertise directly to them. Go, hey, local insurance agents, we customize things for you. You come up with the messaging, but you've got to target that group and get in front of them with the right messaging is one strategy. And then you've got to just good old fashioned, you know, get out there and talk to people. And I understand now in California, things are completely locked down. That does present a challenge, but you can still reach out to people via email and phone calls and Zoom calls and look them in the eyes and say, hey, here's what we're offering. Let us run a quote for you and see if we can save you money. You may be overinsured. You may be underinsured. I don't know. But you just got to come up with a consistent message so that we're not offering a big giant menu. We're offering three or four things. And there's no commitment to talk to us, number one. But number two, we're going to make sure you have the right coverage, which means either you're overinsured or you're underinsured. And we're going to work with you and we're going to customize it and we're going to take care of you. You know, that's all this is. I mean, there's no secret sauce. There's no secret thing that I can tell you. But you guys have got to get your activity up. If somebody calls me and goes, Ken, we're not making enough money, I go, well, great. Two things we got to look at. Efficiency and productivity. Efficiency is how efficient is your message, your marketing message? How efficient is it? Is it clear? Is it consistent and repeatable? And then your productivity.
Not really.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's
not repeatable. It's not clear.
Right. So that's an efficiency problem. And the other issue is I'm going to look at productivity. Are you working hard enough? And the answer is always no. You're just not, you know. And when I say hard, I mean, you can work smart. That's part of the efficiency message. But at the same time, you know, you got to be, your life depends on this. Your livelihood depends on this. So let's start acting that way. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Ken in Georgetown, Kentucky. Ken, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Ken, good afternoon.
How
are
you?
Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it. I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm living the dream, man. I'm living it up. What's going on?
Fantastic. Well, I'm retired.
Good.
But I'm looking to start an encore career with the National Archives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping to move to Iowa sometime this year and volunteer with the Hoover Library and Museum in West Branch, Iowa. This is going to happen in 2020 before everything shut down.
Right.
So I'm reviving this dream again in 2021. And I would like to know any recommendations that you can offer to start a new career with the federal government. I know it's a very lengthy process. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, then I would start the process now. If it's lengthy, there's no reason to delay another day. You know, there's some parts of this process that you can start now. So anytime somebody goes, when do I start the lengthy process? I go ahead and start it. You know, it's like there's no reason to wait 6 months. Go ahead and start it. Now we have to ask ourselves, what can I do right now in Georgetown, Kentucky, versus what are things that I'm going to have to do, which make more sense to do in Iowa? So we start with that list. So what are the things you can do now, even though you haven't moved to Iowa yet? Because that's going to be your location. What's the timeline for arriving in Iowa?
Probably sometime midsummer.
Have you already secured a relationship with that museum that you mentioned or archive there in Iowa?
I have. I filled out a volunteer application and had an interview. I spoke to the lead archivist, Craig, and yes, my application has been accepted. And
great.
I got a place.
Good for you. See, I love this. See, you're retired, so there's no pressure on you financially, and volunteering is the easiest way to get in and build a relationship with Craig. You want to become Craig's. You want to become more valuable to Craig than anybody else on his staff that he's paying. That's your number one agenda. Where Craig
That's
goes,
the way I see it, absolutely.
Yeah, you're on this, Ken. That's exactly what you do. Because here's the deal. Once you build your relationship with Craig and he sees you as who you really are, you're a guy who's retired. You're trying to get rich off of this. This is a labor of love. You love this as a second career for all of the reasons that he loves it. Essentially, you guys are going to see commonality there. And if a position doesn't open up, you know, right away, he's still going to know other people in that area in Iowa that may be another job. So maybe you work for a National Historic Society somewhere on the other side of town. I don't know. But Craig is your entry point, and you've done everything. You are the proximity principal, Ken. You're doing it absolutely perfectly. Keep going. Don't quit. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey parents, if you've got a kid that's considering a career in technology, you've got to check out my friends at Bethel Tech. They can get there without breaking the bank. Bethel Tech has an online training program that teaches the latest in-demand tech skills for a fraction of the price of traditional college. And they've got an 85% placement rate. I've got the offer for you. Go to Bethel Tech to get $1,000 to $2,500 off of tuition. Again, that's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you answer the age-old question, what should I do with my life? I'm Ken, and this is the Ken Coleman Show, a different kind of talk radio. We're talking purpose, not politics. And I got great news for those of you who are all concerned about all of the craziness and uncertainty in our world. You're never going to have to look to your state capital. You're never going to have to look to your nation's capital. Because we have people that listen all around the world. They listen to the podcast of The Ken Coleman Show. You don't have to look to them to figure out your purpose. And I still believe that you can achieve your dreams. I don't think that's gone. I don't think that's that much harder now than it was 4 years ago or 8 years ago or 16 years ago. I just don't believe it. I don't give power over my purpose and my dreams to politicians. So focus on you and your why and get after it. Good things are going to happen. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Tulsa, Oklahoma is where Kate is on the line. Kate, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
So I'm a little bit stuck. I know I don't like the job that I'm currently in. I'm trying to get out of it right now and get another job. But the thing is, I'm trying to balance getting another job and getting out of debt with finding and funding my dream job. So I'm not exactly sure how to go about doing that.
Okay, great. Well, let's start with what the professional pinnacle is. What's the dream job?
I'm still working through that. I'm going through the clarity guide, and I've got through the talents portion, but I'm kind of getting stuck on the passions portion and mostly the mission.
Okay. Well, I'm going to help you with that because here's the answer to the first part of your question. You don't have to stop your debt-free journey, and you don't have to jump off of a occupational cliff to get to your dream. You can do it steadily over time and without interruption in income. Or if there is interruption in income as a part of the journey, you can plan for that. Does that make you feel better on the whole? I promise.
A little bit. Okay. A little bit. I'm trying to figure out just how to fit that in.
We can't figure out the path till we know what the dream is.
Right.
So we can't figure out the path up the mountain until we know what the top is. So what did you write down for your top talents? What did you say you were best at doing?
I have an excellent memory. I'm very organized. I'm very good at languages, not just foreign, but English language, writing, that kind of thing. I'm really good at problem solving, analysis, research.
Okay. I'm writing all this down. I'm just going, you went faster than me, so I'm like, okay.
Oh, sorry.
No, you don't need to be sorry. It's always the case. You can't write as fast as you talk. Okay, so that's really good. Now, when somebody tells me they're locked up, as you did in identifying their passion, and for those following along, passion is what we identify as work you love to do. This is a task, a series of tasks, a function, a role that you look forward to when you think about it. And when you're in the middle of it, you love it. And when you're done with it, you're so grateful for it. I call that high emotion, high devotion. Time seems to just stand still. You don't want to stop doing it. So that's high emotion, high devotion. And so when somebody tells me they can't figure out, they're getting locked up on describing passion, I always go back to the talent. Because we as humans like to do things we're good at. True or false, Kate?
True.
Okay. So there are some clues in this talent list. So let's just walk through everything you told me. Do you like to memorize things? Because you said you were good at it.
I do. It tends to kind of happen automatically. Like, I don't intend to. Honestly, I could quote you.
You know what that is? Yeah. Okay. That's going to come back. So let's keep moving. We'll come back to that one. Do you like to do things that are organizational in nature? Organizing, making sure efficiency is happening. Do you love that kind of work?
Yeah. I like putting everything in its place and knowing that everything is where it's supposed to be. I'm very type A.
Great. So let's call that organizing. You like to do the work called organizing. You love it. All right. The linguistics, you're talented at that because of your memory ability. Do you like to do work that is of a linguistics nature, meaning translation, things of that nature? Or is that just something you just happen to be good at?
That's more something I just happen to be
great.
Good at.
Let's
it's
keep moving.
More the English.
Yeah, right. And you're a very good communicator. I wrote down verbal skills, communication, because that's that writing and all that. So you're very gifted at that. Do you like to do that type of work where you are writing something or maybe speaking, developing content? Is that something you love to do? Does that have high emotion, high devotion?
Yeah, I actually run a little blog on the side where I like to write articles and things
good.
Like that.
So blogging/writing, you're passionate about that. And then the analysis and research. So research is one piece, and then analyzing what you've researched is the other. And that's where that memory comes in. You go do all this research, and you can spit it back to me 24 hours later. True or false?
True.
All right. Do you love researching and then analyzing the research?
Yeah, I love like picking things apart, pulling out the important details and things like that, right, and then compiling them.
All right. And then you said you were really good at problem solving. Do you love problem solving?
Yeah, I like looking at the pieces and then seeing how they come together. Like when people come to me for an answer and I'm able to give it to them, maybe they couldn't find it.
Right. So you're like the solution provider. So you love that kind of work. Okay. So we just moved a bunch of things over from your talent line that are also on your passion line. Is there anything, any other work now that we've got your brain, you know, kind of juiced and you're actually vibing a little bit here on this stuff? Anything else that you would say, Ken, I love this kind of work? Anything else that we're missing? Because we've got enough.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Really just being in a support role.
Got it.
Something like that.
Okay, great. Now, that to me leads us to our last category, mission. Now remember, mission is defined by results that matter deeply to me. All work creates results. True or false, Kate?
True.
All right. And so we want to figure out, how do we use these things that Kate's good at to do work Kate loves to produce results that matter? So what are the results you most want to see out of your work at the end of the day? Just think about it for a moment. Based on everything you now know about yourself, and you and I are on the same page, so what are the results that you want to produce?
I like knowing that I've accomplished something that day. You know, like if I look back over my work, like just using housework, for example, you can see it. You can see that you've accomplished something.
Yeah, I think you're driven. I think the results that you're driven by are efficiency and order. That's at least a couple things. Am I right?
Yes.
You want to be a person who in a supportive role, but that's another result. You like providing that support. So part of you want the results of your work to be a support in nature. It's, oh my gosh, we couldn't do this without Kate. So I think it's support. You just want to be a support, a help. So I think it's really, you want to see service as a result of your work. And I think you want to see efficiency and order. If I'm just kind of doing some 30,000 feet, you know, bold words, that's what you want to see out of your work. Is there anything else? Think about the people you want to help, the problem that they have, and the solution that you want to provide to their problem. What comes to mind when I ask you those three questions?
That's kind of where I get stuck. As far as a specific group of people, I'm not sure.
Don't worry about it. Keep going. Go up higher then. That if I'm taking you too deep, come back up higher. So you just want to help businesses. You want to help leaders. You want to help teams. It doesn't have to be a people group. You could just say, so describe, what's the work? What do you want to produce in your day? At the end of the day, what do you want to see happen? Give me that in 20 seconds. Go.
I really like to see things come together. Mm-hmm. So if I've helped somebody to do their job better, then that makes me feel good.
Yep. I think you want to do
the person they can rely on.
What do you think about this? I think if you're doing support work of an administrative or operational nature, I think you're a happy camper at the end of the day. Is that true or false?
That's true.
All right, then. Guess how many jobs are like that in the world and how many different industries those jobs are in? Ding, 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 Kate. It's every industry. Every industry or sector of our economy needs these type of operations, systems, administrative type people. That could be everything from an executive assistant where you make six figures to, you know, an operations specialist on a team, a project manager for a marketing company. Here's your homework assignment. Go find all those types of jobs that are available in your area and see what you're qualified for. And then go get those qualifications and then go for it. And you never leave your job that you're in. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you find your why and then put it to work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. 844-747-2577. This is a different kind of conversation. We're talking purpose. And that is a good conversation. Life is just too short to be miserable on Monday and work for the weekends. And so that's why we exist. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Los Angeles, California, where Craig joins us. Craig, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet, sir. How can I help?
So I'm debating switching careers. I am a pilot and a flight instructor. And I went to college, graduated about a year and a half ago, and I'm in a lot of debt, about $135,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in my first career job at a flight school, and I ended up getting fired for an unintentional mistake that I made,
mm-hmm.
And I completely own up to it. But I was fired kind of in the midst of COVID, and it's been very difficult. It's been about 7 months. It's very difficult to find another job in the aviation industry, especially with how things are going right now. And I'm debating if I want to switch careers, but I don't want to go into more debt.
Yeah. Well, if you had not been fired, would you be even considering switching careers?
No, not at all.
Then the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we stay afloat. We do whatever we've got to do to stay in the game. And what I mean by staying in the game is, you know, the longer you're out of work, or have you been out of work, or you just been doing other small odd jobs, day jobs? What's your work status?
So I'm technically unemployed. Once in a while, I still have access to a different smaller flight school, and they allow me to do, you know, small flight instructor stuff there, like checkouts for airplanes and small stuff to make a little bit of money. But I do more of now delivery, like food delivery in my car, because I have to make money.
That's okay, dude. There's no shame in that. There's no shame at all. The question I have is, you're qualified. All that schooling and everything, you're qualified. What takes people years and all that money to do, you're already qualified. So this is about finding an opportunity. Are you staying in the Los Angeles area? Are you going, that's where I'm supposed to be? So my universe for finding this work is only in this area?
No, I'm ready to, I always have my bags packed, ready to go anywhere.
Okay. And the idea is what, to be a flight instructor, and private pilot?
So it's, flight instructor, I'll always be one. I love teaching, but okay, my end goal in life is, to work for the airline industry.
Okay. But right now, are you looking for airline pilot jobs, or are you looking for private opportunities?
I'm looking for either or, the first come, first serve kind of thing, whatever, you know, shows up first.
So how can I help? So I think you called me to say, Ken, should I switch careers? And the answer is no, because there's no evidence to me that you've lost your passion. You haven't lost your passion. You love teaching. And the good news is you're still doing it. I'd stay with it. In fact, I'd try to teach as many people as possible. I'd try to build that thing while you're looking for gigs. But the reality is you're right. The airline industry as a whole is down. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. It's going to come screaming back.
Yeah.
You think that 6 months from now, we're not going to be flying places? I'm just telling you. You pick the time. I don't know if it's 6 months, 12 months. You know, when the vaccine's been out longer, this COVID thing is eventually going to slow down. Okay. So at some point, the consumer confidence is going to get there and everybody's ready to travel. So the airline industry is going to be hiring like crazy. That's one option. And then, you know, this idea of you flying privately is an option too. You know, you got a lot of businesses out there that are still booming. And so being a private pilot gives you a lot of flexibility as well. My point is this, you know where to go. And I love that your bags are packed. I'd look all over the place. I think being in Los Angeles right now is part of the problem.
Yeah.
They've shut that place down. And so if you had to move to Nebraska to fly for 2 years, and then that allows you to just get back in the air and get rocking again, and then you move somewhere else, I'm fine with that too. I think you have to be wide open right now. And so you know what to do. You don't need my advice on that. But hear me say, it is understandable, Craig, that this uncertainty has made you question your career. But I'm here to tell you, there's no reason that you should change careers. It is in your sweet spot. It's your dream job. It always has been. It lines up beautifully. You're just in a down season, but don't quit. You'll regret it if you quit. The rest of your life, you'll regret it. So don't quit. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Folks, I like to stay in the know and support great companies doing great things. Have you heard of Burst? It's the sonic toothbrush everybody's talking about. Burst is loved by influencers and celebrities, not to mention hundreds of thousands of happy customers and me. See for yourself what everyone is talking about. Burst is the smart choice, and it's affordable. Visit BurstOralCare.com and use code KEN to grab a Burst brush for as low as $49.99. That's BurstOralCare.com. That's BurstOralCare.com. Helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose in your life and your work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Excited to have you with us. We have so many free resources at our website, and we just walked through with our last caller the Career Clarity Guide. It's the sweet spot exercise. We just turned it into a guide that'll help you at kencoleman.com. It's free. It's right there in our resources. You can also go to kencoleman.com/clarity. By the way, you need to be following me on Instagram, also on Facebook. Search the Ken Coleman Show on Instagram at Ken Coleman. And we're putting out great content over there. And we do some live things every once in a while, and hop on and answer questions and interact that way. So join me over there as well. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577, toll free. And Andrew is going to lead us off this segment, and he is in Sacramento, California. Andrew, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Good morning, Ken. Thank you for your time.
You bet. How can I help?
I have a question in regards. I was recently accepted into graduate school, which I'm excited about. I'm coming up against a block with trying to avoid student loans. So currently, with the amount that I'm able to save and progress in the savings up until graduate school starts and then into the first year of graduate school, the total I can come up with is about $5,000 short of the total payment for the graduate program, including books. Okay. I have an alternative, which my employer has a scholarship program that they cover the cost of school, which I am applying for. I'm in the process of applying for.
Great.
But in terms of like my individual finances, I just seem to be about $5,000 or $6,000 short.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying this in a sarcastic way. I'm truly asking. That's really not that much money. And so is that delaying the start? And that's why you're kind of feeling the pressure? I mean, why are you calling me about being $5,000 short, and how can I help you?
It's the fear of student loans. So it took me 10 years to pay off student loans from a bachelor's degree because I just didn't have the education knowledge.
Right, but what I'm saying is why do you need a student loan for $5,000? You don't. So I don't even know why you're considering it. $5,000, man, good on you. First of all, you're doing the right thing with applying for the scholarship, which hopefully your company will go, you know, hey, it's you're $5,000 short. Well, who says that you got to start? When are you planning to start? Or when would you like to start?
The fall.
Okay. So you have until the fall to come up with $5,000.
Well, I'm coming up with the money for the program right now. So the program total is $40,000, and currently I have $7,000. So by the time the program starts and as I work through the program, I have to do internships, and that's going to take away from my employment status.
Okay.
And so by the time I get to the internships, if I keep with the same savings amount that I have, I'll have $35,000 saved.
I know, but what I'm saying is, Andrew, we're both saying the same thing. You're $5,000 short. Come up with the $5,000. Exactly. Don't start the program until you got the $5,000. It's worth waiting. Okay. It's worth waiting. It's not that long of a wait, I guess is my point. You know, so you got $5,000. That's it. That's our number. How do we get $5,000? Is that an extra job? Is that you selling a bunch of stuff? What is it? Is it you driving a delivery truck for 5 months? $5,000. Don't start the program until you have the cash. So that you don't put any pressure on yourself. You've done so good, Andrew. I mean, seriously, my hat's off to you. Great job. But $5,000 is not that much money. Not for you. Not for somebody who's got a goal, who's got a vision for where that goal is going to take him. $5,000. Let me tell you something. If I had to come up with $5,000 right now, all right, okay, and I couldn't do it here at Ramsey Solutions. I had to do it outside of work here, okay, because I'm commissioned, all right, so, you know, I'd just be, you know, calling everybody. You know what I'd do? I'd be going, all right, what kind of time do I have? How much time do I really have each week? What's the quickest way for me to get to $5,000? I got stuff I can sell. I know that. I got stuff I could sell in my house. I could probably come up with $1,500, $2,000 worth of stuff I could sell. All right. Then I'd go, all right, I got my weekends. How many Saturdays would it take me to make, you know, the additional $3,000 or whatever? I guess my point is, I just want to encourage you that I love your heart and I love your principles to say, I don't want to go into debt. But my point is, you don't have to. You're looking at $5,000. Find a way, find six ways, find 12 ways to make $5,000. You got this, man. Andrew,
okay.
Stop thinking about it. Don't accept debt as an option. And if you got to delay the start of school, delay it. It's not a big deal. You're going to be so far ahead of everybody else anyway when you get out because you don't have to pay anything back. $5,000. I think is great about this for Andrew? And Andrew, I hope you get this. I know I put you on hold, but I want you to listen to this. That extra $5,000 is that last part of the run. You know, it's the last mile of your training run. It's the last mile of your half marathon. It's the last mile. And it's hard because you've gone so hard to get to this point. You've got your budget planned out. You've got how you're going to get to that $40,000. But get the five. Get it. It's going to feel so, so good. So get after it. And it's such a tangible finish line. That last mile, Joe, no matter how tired you are on the run, you can get there. You know that you can get home.
It's that last leg.
Even if you got to walk for half of it, you know you're going to make it home. You don't have to call your wife to come pick you up. You go, I can get home. I'm tired. I'm cramping, but I can get home. I got a mile. I can get there. It's going to suck. It's going to be painful, but I'm going to get there. I can get there. That $5,000 is the same way. It's like, okay, that's doable. I'm going to go get it. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Liz in Frederick, Maryland. Liz, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking the time for me today.
You bet. How can I help you?
So I am a new mom of two. I just had my daughter, and I have a 2.5-year-old. So
you're tired.
I went back. Yes, I am. So I am working full time, and I kind of went through a little bit of a transition after I had my baby. I was part time at the ice rink as a skating director, and then I coach as well.
Okay.
And then I was working at the church as a communications director. Okay. So I was split in two different directions, and I kind of decided I wanted to be full time somewhere instead of kind of having everything.
Okay. Where'd you go? Where are you full time?
I'm full time at the ice rink. So the GM was pursuing me about an assistant GM role for about a year. And I decided to take that, but it's really not working out.
Why? Why
after is it, a couple months.
Why is it not working out?
For a few different reasons. I mean, obviously the pull of being a mom and then the expectations that he laid out at the beginning are a little bit different than they actually ended up being. You know, I was very clear that I wanted to be a mom first and have the flexibility to, you know, work from home a couple of days a week. And the other big piece of it is that just there's a little bit of a toxic work atmosphere.
Okay. So what can I help you with? What do you need me to help with?
Yeah, I guess I just need some guidance as far as what you'd recommend for a working mom in this situation, you know, what
do you need the income? Kind of, do you need the income?
I
that
do.
This, okay.
I do,
so,
yeah.
So whether that's it's at this place or not, you're going to have to be working full time anyway.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's really, what do I do? Do you love ice skating? Is that something that you've always loved?
Yeah, I've been doing it since I was 7 years old. So I've been in ice rinks. I've worked in a bunch of ice rinks. And obviously, this is the biggest role I've had at one. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll tell you what we're going to do. All right. So here's what we're going to do, Liz. I've got a commercial break coming up in about 15 seconds. I want you to think this through. When we come back, we're going to pick back up with Liz. So Liz, don't go anywhere. And we're going to figure out what she really, really wants to do and how does this thing play into it. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back. The Ken Coleman Show continues live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. So excited that you have decided to join with us to have a conversation that really, really matters. And that is about your purpose, your why. As we went into the break, we had just taken a call from Liz, who is a full-time working mom of two littles, a baby and a 2.5-year-old, I believe, somewhere in that range. And she recently took a full-time job at a skating rink. And she was pursued, and what was told was going to be her duties plus some flexibility has not turned out to be the case. And so we're going to dive in here and pick back up. But I think that's a pretty good summary of where we left off. Okay, Liz. So before the break, I said, hey, I wanted to get from you an idea of what you would really want to do if we were just going to change locations. We have two options. Can we change your leader's weaknesses? Can we change the inconsistencies? Or we change our location? And that's mm-hmm. kind of where we are. So we'll get to the change in the leader's consistencies if it becomes relevant. Or how would we try to make our current environment better? But my question for you is knowing that you got to work full time, what would you do if we decided today that the ice rink and that wasn't it? What would you do and say, Ken, now this would be the dream job? What would that look like? Any ideas?
So on the skating side of things, I would love to be a full-time skating director and then coach on the side.
Love it.
And then, you know, on my background with communications, I really kind of figured out that the project management side of things is what I enjoy doing. I worked with websites and apps and things like that. Right. So,
but that's different.
If I had to do both, it is very different.
Yeah. So which one would you choose? So, it's the skating director and coaching.
I would choose that.
And is that essentially what you're doing now, or does he have you more running the facility or helping him run the facility?
So I'm both. I am still the skating director, but I'm secondhand to him running the facility as well.
And is it a toxic situation, or is it just this is kind of new to you and he may not have known what he was telling you? You know, did he know? How do you perceive the disconnect between what he told you the work was going to be and what it is?
Honestly, I think it's a leadership issue.
Yeah.
He was the facilities manager at first. I just honestly don't know if, to lack for lack of saying it another way, if he has what it takes to be the GM.
So it's not necessarily, it's not a negative or unhealthy thing. It's just, he probably didn't even do a good job of describing what he wanted you to do. He made it up on the fly. Then you get right there and he makes some changes. And that's affecting you. Is it affecting you with your work hours? Is it making you work more than what was agreed upon?
I'm working more, and I'm also, you know, he's saying now that I need to be in the office one other day, that he doesn't feel like it's good if I'm working from home as much. And
whereas initially he was fine with it. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So have you had a conversation with him about, hey, look, this is what we agreed to, and this is what's kind of happening, and that's putting me in a tough position. What are your thoughts on this? You know, I mean, have you had that healthy confrontation?
I have to an extent, but I don't think I've been as serious as I could be in terms of, hey, this could change.
Yeah.
You know,
are you in a situation that if you kind of laid it out and said, hey, this is what I need it to be, and if it can't be this, I can't stay here, are you willing to do that?
I am, definitely, okay, at this
and
point.
And so you're prepared financially if that were to be the case as well?
Yeah, well, I guess I would not 100% no. Right. I would want something lined up.
Is there anything else in the ice skating side of things in that industry in your area? Other potential landing places?
There's a lot. There's actually quite a bit of opportunity, like towards the DC area. There are a lot of bigger rinks that are pretty lucrative, but that's a commute thing, and I'd be potentially willing to do that if it was the right position. But
well, my point is, you got to look at that. Well, you got to look at it, and it's okay if you say, you know what, it's not worth the commute. At some point, something else is either going to be worth the commute or not worth the commute. So I think the way this, if you're my wife and we were talking about this, I'd go, look, before we're not really prepared financially for you not to be working. So we got to be pretty strategic here. So let's look for other opportunities where we as a family can go, all right, this would be viable from, you know, the hours of commute and the family planning and all the things you guys got to do with those two littles. I get it. Okay. So we would be sitting down and we'd be going, okay, what are viable options, alternatives? That's what you've got to do right now. Right now, you don't have that. You need a list.
Right.
And with all those other places, pursuing what you love is what I'm going to tell you. You should try it first. We can always go get one of those other roles, project managing or whatever you described. I mean, those roles, great news, you can get those. But you love the ice skating world. You love coaching. There's some bigger rinks. I'd look around. I really would. Yeah. I'd start today. I mean today.
Okay.
So who's hiring? What's out there? Because here's the deal. You could start making connections with those places and go, look, I know you don't have anything right now, but I wanted to connect with you. Here's what I'm doing over here. And I'd like to move into a bigger, better opportunity to do this. And you could essentially go take another day job doing the project managing stuff. And then when something else opens, you're gone. And they kind of know who you are. So I'd begin building the relationships now using the proximity principle. Do you have my book?
I don't.
I'm going to give it to you. I know you got the babies there. I'm going to let you go. I know they're getting restless. I want you to read the book. Amanda, give her the format that she prefers. Liz, I want you to read the book, and I want you to get after it right now, looking for other opportunities in the ice skating world. And then if nothing is available right now, I would look at some other day jobs, because I'm considering the ice skating stuff the dream job. Make the connections, build relationships, go get yourself another good, solid day job doing project managing work, and you leave them as soon as something opens up in the skating world. That's what I would do. I think that's you'll figure out the timeline, but that's the process. Those are the steps. 844-747-2577. Let's go. I tell you what, we only got about 2 minutes left in the segment. I want to teach on something that I shared in the YouTube show today. It's pretty simple. And I actually posted it on my Instagram page, at Ken Coleman. And you can go get this if you follow me on Instagram. If you don't, quick follow at Ken Coleman will get you there. But this was a post that we put out 3 days ago. It said, when you're around successful people, their success influences yours. Now, that's a part of the proximity principle, but it's a little bit different in that it's not as industry specific. The proximity principle says, in order to do what I want to do, and we just told Liz, she wants to be in the ice skating world, I got to be around people that are working in the ice skating world, and I got to be in places where ice skating is happening. People plus places. When I'm in the right places, I meet the right people. When I'm around the right people, they point me and put me in the right places. But this idea is, when you're around successful people, their success influences yours. It's one of the most underrated success principles in the world. Here's why. When you're so focused on all the tactical things that you need to do and want to do, what we skip sometimes is this idea of, in every area of my life, if I can be around successful people, their success is essentially going to rub off on me when I'm bouncing into these people and I'm spending time with them. So it might be a parenting conversation from somebody who's very successful. It could be a marriage conversation. It could be an investing conversation. It could be a professional conversation. But it doesn't always have to be people that are successful in your field. Just get around successful people. Because you get in a room, you ought to try to be in rooms, Joe. This is the test. You ought to try to be in rooms where you look around the room and go, gee whiz, how in the world did I get in here? That's your goal. Because when you're there and you're relating to and connecting with very successful people, it'll just lift you. It's like that rising tide lifts all ships quote from JFK, or maybe RFK, Robert F. Kennedy. But the point is that when I'm around those people, their success will influence mine. Hey, my time's almost up, but before I let you go, I want you to know that you do matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Chris Hogan Show.
I am so excited to be able to talk to you all week in and week out. We're going to talk about your money, your life, your dreams, and your goals. You know why? Because I'm your coach. Whether we're talking about building wealth, paying off your home early, investing, paying for college, and guess what? How to become an everyday millionaire. We're going to focus on taking your calls because you matter to me. Together, we can do this.
The Chris Hogan Show is available wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can go to ChrisHogan360.com.